the topic for today is the love of the big book. And you know, what a great topic that I want to share on that topic because of my great love for this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, it wasn't always that way. So I drank some. Next year, I'm actually going to be sober as long as over half my life. But there was half of my life that I was not sober, and I caused some trouble. I caused a lot of trouble out there, and over any considerable period of time, everything got worse, you know, not just my drinking, but, alcoholism impacts everything. Drinking's like a symptom of the internal and emotional and spiritual chaos that alcoholism is. And everything had gotten really bad. And my first exposure to the book Alcoholics Anonymous was in a treatment center. So I went to treatment. I think it was March of 1989. I signed myself in. You know, it had gotten really, I couldn't separate from alcohol and I couldn't control it when I was drinking. And I was desperate to get off of alcohol at that time. I couldn't do it. So I signed myself into this place and they handed me a big book and they handed me a 12-step and 12 traditions. And then they went about their business of, you know, whatever treatment centers were doing back then. And they just kind of gave me these books. Now I had a lot of free time. So I read them. Okay. And I remember reading the book Alcoholics Anonymous cover to cover in about 2 days. I was a big reader back then, mostly science fiction and the kinds of stuff that would take me as far away from me as I could get, you know, that was the type of literature. I was big on comic books and I was big on science fiction. So, go figure. But I read this thing cover to cover in the treatment center. And I think the conclusion I came to was, man, this is kind of archaic. That, you know, what are they talking about? But I remember one part of it. I think it was right around where they talk about the third step, just before the third step decision, where it really talks about the manifestations of self. And you know, I remember thinking, how did the person writing this book know the way I feel? You know, and then I motored through the rest of the book as fast as I could, and that was it for quite a while. I relapsed a little bit. I showed back up in Alcoholics Anonymous in between Christmas and New Year's of 1989, staggering in after a traumatic series of debacles that only we can understand how tragic and how painful they are. I went back into Alcoholics Anonymous. And now, the northern New Jersey area where I was, Somerset Hills, northern New Jersey area, where I was going to meetings, the big book had not caught back on. So I think what happened was the big book was the basic text until the 12 and 12 was printed. And the somehow, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous morphed into, you know, let's start meetings based on the 12 and 12, because there's 12 steps and there's 12 weeks in a quarter and there's four quarters in a year. And, you know, it just became really easy to base meetings off of the 12 and 12. You could read the whole step and then you could do a tradition a month. If you could do all this stuff. So what happened was there was a transition away from the importance, the primacy of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was kind of shifted on to the 12 and 12. So my early years, at least the first 2 years that I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, I went to about 4 step meetings a week because that's what they were. There was a big book meeting 3 towns over, but it wasn't that exciting because they read the stories. So the spotlight was off of the book Alcoholics Anonymous completely in my area. And it was all fellowship. right? I mean, we fellowshipped. We had sober volleyball teams, and, you know, we went out to the diner after every meeting, and nobody went to a meeting alone in a car. You know what I mean? The doors of the car would open and four or five people would come out, and we you know, softball and the slow, painful root canal-esque sober dances that, you know, became kind of, you know, mandatory for you to try to deal with. And so that was my early experience in AA, and I am not criticizing it, because I am so glad that I got re-exposed to society. Alcoholism is an illness of isolation. You know, it's an illness of loneliness, and it's all of our character defects prior to showing up in Alcoholics Anonymous normally have separated us from so many people and so many things. So having the emphasis on the fellowship the way it was really good for me. I mean, I was dragged into things that I never would have done on my own, because people were saying, "Chris, come with us." You know, oh my God, you know, okay. And that was the environment. Okay. So I'm a lunatic. And so I'm a sober lunatic. There has been no recovery work. I've been going to these 12 and 12 meetings, and I've been hearing about the steps and thinking about the steps and reading about the steps and, you know, every once in a while sharing an opinion on the steps. But, you know, I had no process for actually doing them. And no one was talking about a process of actually doing them. You know, you'd hear, well, the only step you got to do perfect is step one. You just don't take a drink. And that was huge. I mean, I heard that 1,000 times every week. So here, so without any recovery, I'm a sober mental case. You know, my brain wants to kill me. I'm constantly rehashing stuff in the past, like all the pain and the shame and the remorse and the guilt of the past. I'm always like dragging my stream of thought back into the past and just feeling terrible about it. Or else I'm really anxious about the future. You know, stuff's going to happen, you know, and tomorrow I'm going to go to work, you know, and the boss, you know, I mean, all this stuff. So I'm never in the present. So I'm a stark raving lunatic, but I'm sober. And what happened was how I got re-exposed to the importance of the book Alcoholics Anonymous was through a series of tapes. You know, one of my friends gave me a set of a Joe and Charlie workshop that had been done, you know, in the mid 80s or something. And my first experience was I got pissed. I got pissed when I heard, well, you know, I promised this guy I'd go all the way through it. And I did. I went all the way through it. And I listened to these Joe and Charlie guys. But you know, the attitude and the perception I had at the end of those tapes was, maybe that's how they do it in Arkansas. But in New Jersey, we share. You know, I mean, I was annoyed because what they were sharing was something that was that I had no place in. I was not participating in. It made me feel like I was a failure, you know, in AA or something. You know how your ego has to defend itself. And you know, my ego is defending myself and saying, well, that's not how we do it in New Jersey. You know, but what happened was I was haunted by the information in these tapes. Anybody that's gone through, you know, a big book workshop and had your eyes get really wide, like, oh my God, yeah, why didn't I ever see this before? I was haunted by the information. I went through some, you know, some dark nights of the soul, you know, emotionally. And I was drawn back because I was just haunted with this information. You know, if you disturb an alcoholic about their alcoholism, this can all be to the good. And it was to my good, because, you know, I started to listen to that workshop again with an open big book, with a notebook by my side and a pen. And I started to go through in a very, very imperfect way, go through the 12 steps, because that's what they were saying was the recovery program of Alcoholics Anonymous. They made it very, very clear that the fellowship is not the recovery part of the program. It's essential, but it's not the legacy of recovery. The legacy of recovery is the 12 steps as they're laid out in the book. Now that started my evolution into all this stuff. I see recovery today as kind of an organic evolution. And what I mean by that is today I truly believe that there's been a divine presence impacting my life and doing for me what I couldn't do for myself for a long time. You know, going all the way back to the day I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, I think this presence and this force has been, you know, creating pathways for me to show up where I am today on a Zoom with all of you. And so recovery is this evolution. And I came to believe, you know, it wasn't like flipping a switch. And I came to believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous was significant. And then I came to believe it was even more significant than I thought it was. And then I came to believe that it was even more significant than I thought it was last week. You know? And what's happened because of the book Alcoholics Anonymous is 1,000 miles deep. Each time I approach it, what it does is it awakens within me an awareness of what I am as an alcoholic and what I need to do to participate in the maintenance of my spiritual condition and how important it is to gain access to the conscious contact and power of God. I believe very much that the early Alcoholics Anonymous people who were putting this big book together, especially Bill Wilson, because he's the principal writer and architect of this volume, he was awake, he was inspired, and he was driven, you know, to at a perfect time in his life where he had a significant spiritual experience and continued to back up that spiritual experience with a bunch of work. And it was the perfect time for him to write this incredible document of what, you know, basically how to recover and how to live a recovered life. And he was very much inspired and believed that you could gain access to the actual power of God. And the power of God could work in you and through you. And in some of the steps that are described in this book, you try to gain inspiration or an inspired thought. Through prayer and through meditation, you get to connect with the divine. And it's just become more and more remarkable to me, you know, what's in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, there's not a real set definition of spirituality. But there's a bunch of different descriptions. And one of the ones, you know, I went to the Google one day, and one of the ones that I like the best is spirituality is an interpersonal pathway to connection with the divine. And that's what the big book is. It gives us a personal pathway to connect with the divine. Now, alcoholism, what I've come to understand, especially through reading in the book Alcoholics Anonymous, what I've come to understand is it's more devastating than one would really truly understand when they first show up here. The one thing I know about anybody that's new is they're in 10 times more trouble than they think they are. You know, that's just the one thing I know about the new guy. They are minimizing the amount of trouble they're in because this is a progressively fatal illness. And it's not nice while it's taking you out. You usually go out in disgrace, and the people that are still close to you either resent you or pity you, you know, and that's how you check out. And it's all encompassing, this illness. It affects our thinking. It affects our spirit. It affects our emotional condition, and we're in real trouble. So the solution to alcoholism has to be something incredibly impactful. It can't be a pill. It can't be therapy. It can't be a self-help book. It can't be affirmations. You know, it can't be a million things. The only thing that has enough power to relieve me of my obsession to put alcohol in my body and somehow aim me toward health, where my emotions and my mental processes are all screwed up, is the actual power of God. And this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, gives us such a simple way to gain that access. It's incredible. You know, in the United States, so many of our meetings are in church basements, or, you know, sometimes we're coming upstairs in the churches. You know, I've gone to many meetings like that where they let you go upstairs to have your meeting. But why is that? It's because the people who run these churches know what's going on. They know what's going on. We're in the trenches. So the book Alcoholics Anonymous is the treasure map. It's the treasure. If we follow where it leads us, we will get to the treasure. And the treasure is an awakened spirit, conscious contact with God. And coming from that is an incredible gratitude and spirituality. I am unbelievably grateful for every minute I get on this planet. And, you know, I was suicidal just before I got here. And today I can't tell you how grateful I am for every single minute. I see the world as a gift from God. God gave us this incredible playground to play in and get to know each other and have fun. And, you know, we screw it up with this alcoholic self-centeredness. You know, we turn it into something that it's not. We turn it into a burden. You know, it becomes hostile. You know, but what it is it's an enormously wonderful, wonderful place for us to practice compassion, practice charity, and to grow spiritually. And I can't tell you how much I love this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Without exaggeration, I've been through it 600 times, okay? Without exaggeration. And every single time I go through it, something else jumps up that I need to become aware of, I need to become present to, and I need to practice. And that's how deep this book is. So Ali, thank you so much for asking me to come. I love the speakers that are to follow. Steve, I think, is one of the best communicators in Alcoholics Anonymous today. And you know, this is going to be a great day. Thank you so much.